Praise and thanks be to the Lord. We are grateful again that we can be here to worship, and may His peace, which is higher than all human understanding, rule and keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. And look, here we have again a word. When the Lord was born, it was said, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And later it said, peace to those who are afar off and to those who are near through Jesus Christ our Lord. And He Himself says, do not think that I have come to bring peace. I have come to bring the sword. 2 against 3, and so forth. You all know the scripture. So when you read the Bible, you have to understand again and again, to whom is God speaking? Who does He mean? What and who is addressed? Well, this afternoon, I will not take all the time. You all know, I am not yet completely restored in my body. You have surely noticed that. And I still have to cut down a bit. But God's word, even though it is brought in weakness, it is nevertheless very powerful and strong and accomplishes what it was sent to do. I don't know. It is so heavy on my heart that we understand God right at the last minute, and that we pay attention to all what He spoke, that we respond to it. We have absorbed everything that did not concern us personally, of high knowledge and profound wisdom. We have absorbed everything, and we have done so with joy. And we must have the grace to take in also the things that perhaps concern us personally, that concern me, and at the latest with a sermon, 3 kinds of believers, which will be published about the middle of this year. Then we will all know where we stand, and not one will need to ask the other, and no one who will read properly, maybe read it 2-3 times, he will not have one question where he stands. He will know it from God. And we don't want to judge each other either, because we are human and forgetful and weak, and we all have to face the judgment of God. But we have heard it here already in the word of introduction. I would like to read a verse or two. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. All of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. You all know, when one goes to work, he dresses accordingly. And in the church, it is humility. And humility submits under everything. Yes, under the mighty hand of God. Then it says here, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Whoever does not voluntarily humble himself under the hand of God will have to humble himself under the hand of the enemy. We can only be either on the one side or the other. There will no longer be a middle way. One will not be able to limp on both sides, but God will give grace for us to take His side. Now here, this glorious word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That is a very heavy word, or maybe not a heavy word, but to handle this matter is very difficult. Most of all, or many times, we would like to help ourselves and cope with our own worries, solve our problems, and the more we want to solve and master, the more problems come, the more hardships come. But if we could learn to cast our cares on him who has taken care for us, if I could learn to do that, and all of us could learn that, then surely we would be helped. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Also this word is right. Let me read right away from 2 Peter 1. I don't want to preach long, but let me read briefly these scriptures. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is also a very important word. When we are born again and carry the life of God within us, we become partakers of the divine nature. And then it says, for this very reason, giving all diligence. So don't just let things slide. Don't think they will come by themselves. But with all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. With all diligence. It is not given to us in our sleep, and not when we lay our hands in our lap, but to see the necessity of these things, and to come before the face of God and say, Lord, we want to stand our ground before you. We want all that, what you promised in thy word, this we want to have. Give it to us by grace. And then God will surely answer and give us what we need. In verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If this divine nature and these divine characteristics can be manifested in our lives, then we will be granted entry into the eternal kingdom, and we can approach that day of the return of Jesus Christ without worry and without fear. And not only that, but with joyfulness. But whoever lacks these qualities, that's how it says here, is blind and cannot see afar off. And you all know that is not good, already not in the earthly, and certainly not in the spiritual realm. So you need, there are two things here. But he that lacketh these characteristics is blind and cannot see afar off. These are two things. Firstly, blind, so he sees only very close in front of him, perhaps. And that is not good either. One must have the total overview of what God has prepared for us. Now the word, before we read briefly from Revelation, I would like to read again this word from John 9, which we read some time ago. For after all, the important thing is to understand God's speaking correctly, not according to your or my understanding, but as God wants it to be understood. Here, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 42 and 43, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Here is the whole problem. The scribes, they came to hear Jesus, but they forged their own answers while he was speaking. They didn't want to hear at all, but in their heart was something totally different. They had already fixed their position or attitude toward him. And the Lord says, Ye are not at all able to understand the nature of my speech, because you are not prepared to even listen to what my words say. There are indeed people in this time, and Brother Branham says it over and again, God takes the bad and the good, but the evil and the good spirit remains on earth. Either he is in the one or in the other. God takes only the people, but not the spirit that was in them. Here lies one of the biggest problems. Those who are not willing to sit at Jesus' feet in silence and listen to his words will never come to the knowledge of the truth. On the contrary, he will have heard, and this too has already been said in the word of introduction, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All people have ears, two in number, but who can hear? Only those to whom God opens the spiritual ear, yes, the heart, in order to not only perceive something acoustically, but to have it revealed by the Spirit and to realize what a great privilege it is that we can sit at the feet of Jesus, that we can hear his clear word, that he speaks to us, that we could recognize the time in which we live. There are enough things for which we can be grateful. And we who have heard from the beginning, should we not hear to the end? You all know, when the Lord Jesus walked on earth, there were first 12 and then 70, And then it were very large crowds. But who understood him? Who responded to what he said? And the word, which is written seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, is addressed to the overcomers, not generally to the church, but every time to the overcomers. We can see that very well from every single church age message. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Who is it that overcomes, but he who had an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches? That's the thing. It is commonly said to the angel, of the church at Ephesus write, thus says he who holds the seven stars firmly in his right hand. And you all know, when we go to chapter 1, then it says in the last verse, the seven churches and the seven lampstands. And before that, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. God gave the message to the angel of the church, and he brought it to the people of God. And then there were also called and chosen ones. And those who were chosen have heard, not only from the beginning, but to the end they have heard, not only the simple things, but also the hardest things. It is said over and over again, and Brother Branham has said it many times, right, the statement of Jesus, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. A Jew was absolutely not allowed to eat blood. That was in the law, for the life is in the blood, and they were not allowed to eat blood. And here comes one who brings life to us, who gives his life for us. And he says, whoever will not eat my blood, that the Jews got mad about this. No one can hold that against them. They had the law before their eyes. We could look it up. It was forbidden from God to eat blood, precisely because life was in the blood. The blood could only be given for atonement and forgiveness of sins. The life of an animal, for the life of a man, the blood of an animal, for the blood of a man. But now came one, and he says, whosoever does not drink the blood of the Son of Man and does not eat his flesh, that this was a totally inconceivable and impossible thing for them in their minds, we can all well understand, if we can only think a little Jewishly. And yet, what was it? There were a number who were around Jesus. They did not think according to what the Jews thought, but they had recognized, he who speaks to us is the Messiah. And what he says is true, whether we understand it or not. The others said, how will he give us his flesh, and so forth. They took offense and they walked away. But those who were followers of Jesus, for them it was a statement which they just ignored, but they stayed with the Lord. And Peter said these glorious words, Lord, where shall we go? Only you have words of eternal life. If we had walked away every time When we didn't understand something, then I could begin to list the number, how many times I would have walked away and how many times you might have walked away. Why are we still sitting here today? Because we want to hear and believe to the end what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And you know very well that the Spirit speaks through a mouth and He speaks through the Word. The Spirit does not speak somehow blurred in the air, but here the Spirit has spoken clearly through the messengers in the church. And if we read it carefully, and as we said, the message was addressed to the angel, but at the end of the message, every time it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." But at the beginning, it does not say, "Spirit, you say to the churches." At the beginning, it says, "And to the angel of the church write." To the angel of the church was revealed through the Spirit what was to be communicated to the church. And then it was no longer the messenger of God who spoke, but the Spirit of God spoke through the mouth of a man, as it is written, "Holy men of God spake as they were driven by the Holy Spirit." They did not say what they wanted to say, but God spoke through them, through His Spirit. Every time we accept what the messenger of God has said and brought for the church age, then we hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. There is no other standard. Otherwise, we could go back where we came from. But we did not come out of all of Babel only to go back again. We came out to follow the Lord. According to the scripture, "Ye my people, come out from among them. Be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then you shall be my sons and my daughters, and then I will be your God." God is our God, and He speaks to us through His Word. Let me conclude by emphasizing once again, as Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees at that time, "How is it that you do not understand the manner of my speech? Because you are not willing to even listen." What was it? Their way of speaking was human. They sat at the feet of a Gamaliel. But the way of Jesus was a divine way of speaking and revealing what was in the counsel of God. It is the same in the present time. There is a human proclamation of the Word, and there is a divine proclamation of the Word of God. And the divine one consists in listening to what the Spirit has to say to the churches, that we respond to it and believe it with all our heart. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will have a beautiful multitude that will be raptured, who will be taken up, and I believe that we may be among them. Praise and thanks be to our God. And I am convinced that we will not stop halfway, but will go forward by the grace of our God. And when the enemy has become so angry that he wants to take out his final fury on God's people, then we remember the word Where is it written? Revelation 12. The dragon stood before the woman to devour the man-child as soon as he would come forth. But the man-child is not born to be devoured by the dragon. The male child is born to be raptured to God and his throne. Satan can devour only what God lets him devour, but his own, which are the Lord's, he will not devour. Of course, he walks around like a roaring lion, and we have heard it. We are to be deaf to what Satan roars, but to be open and have a good hearing to what the Lord speaks. And there we have the wonderful comparison with the opening of the seven seals. John saw a lamb, and it was at the same time the lion of the tribe of Judah. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. So our Lord speaks the last word, and when the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, one thing is certain: when our Lord will roar as a lion, then everything will tremble and everything will be silent, even collapse. You can see this in the Old Testament, in Joel, and in a number of passages. What will happen when the Lord will sound his voice from Jerusalem and from Zion? Then everything else must be silent. May it be so in you and in me, even now. We know he is our Lord. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has overcome to take the book, to break the seals, and to reveal the content. Blessed is he who can hear and who can believe what has been revealed. And to whom has it been revealed? To the mouthpiece of God. And when you and I heard it, it ignited in your heart and in mine. Something was there, an echo, a reverberation. And we knew that God was speaking to us. And we may receive it from the heart and believe it. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh has the promise that he will not see the second death, and so forth. In every church age, a different promise is given, but collectively, all overcomers from all ages will participate in all the promises that the Lord has promised to those who have overcome. Overcame how? By your power and by mine? They have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. It is not your word. It is not my word. It is God's revealed word, which has become your testimony and mine. Do you have your own testimony? Do I have my own testimony? Or has God's revealed word become your testimony and mine? May the Lord keep what has been looked at this weekend in your and in my heart. May he set before us the seriousness of his speech. And let me conclude by saying that in the Old Testament it is written, he who said, thou shalt not steal, he also said this and this and this. All came from one mouth. And then at the end it says, whosoever is guilty of one is guilty of the whole. because it was spoken by one and the same mouth. So it is also in this time. The same revelations, no matter where we find them and how they came to Brother Branham. It was the mouth of the Lord that spoke, and we cannot choose what we will believe or what we will not believe. He who is guilty of one, passes by one, is guilty of everything, and basically passes by everything. For the same Lord has spoken from the beginning to the end. Blessed is he who can believe. Blessed is he who can receive it. He will be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. The Lord be with you all. Amen.